life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678. And put the life back in life insurance.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
Some of those things like the animals and stuff, we can't. There's a lot of kids that have year-round animals. Maybe we could do something, be more of a regional area type for 4-H. I don't know. That's one of the things that we're asking right now as groups and trying to plan out.
On the air first when seconds count.
Don't have very much experience with e-learning. We just haven't been an e-learning district. But we now have learned that e-learning is more for 1 or 2 days and not meant to be for the long haul.
The news team you've come to depend on.
We want to go ahead and start making plans for getting things open back up and what that's going to look like. But I think that's wishful thinking at this point. We asked everybody to stay vigilant through the 20th, which is, next Monday. So I'm hoping, praying that by next Monday we can start relaxing things. But I think it's wishful thinking at this point.
Your official weather station when you need to know. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We thank our previous guest, who is Ohio High School Athletic Association Director, Executive Director Jerry Snodgrass, talking about what's going on over in the state of Ohio. And now we're going to be talking about what's going on in the state of Indiana a little bit here. We have IU Kokomo head basketball coach Eric Eckelbarger. Eric, good morning. How you doing?
Good, Ken. Good. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Always enjoy having you on because it's always kind of fun to see how things are going on in other part of the state. And plus, it's also kind of fun to see what's going on in the world of college athletics instead of just focusing on high school athletics all the time. So it's just a lot of fun. So how have things been going over there for you guys?
Well, it's been interesting, I'll tell you. It's something I never thought I was going to be dealing with necessarily. We finished our season on, I think, March 11th. We played in the NAIA National Tournament. We got a huge win over Medina University in Michigan, and that was a big first-round national tournament win for us. We were set to play College of Idaho in the second round. They were the number one overall team in the nation in NAIA basketball, and we were set to play them on – so that game against Medina was Wednesday, and on Friday, out in South Dakota, we would have played College of Idaho. And on Thursday, I think that was March 12th, that's when everything happened, when they started canceling everything. And they actually canceled our national tournament on March 12th. So we immediately had to get on the bus and come back to Kokomo. And, we haven't been together as a team since that time necessarily. Now we've done a lot of Zoom meetings and virtual things, but as far as together in the gym or anything like that, that was it. And just for things to get shut down like that once the virus hit, just wow, just a chain of events that I don't think any of us saw coming.
You know, but I think the interesting thing in your point, in your guys' situation now, is that you guys got to end your season with a win. And even though you didn't get the tournament finished, you still got to end your season on a win. Most everybody else usually ends it with a loss. And I think that's a little bit of a different situation that nobody really thinks about too often.
Oh, I think we're so fortunate. And I'm not a senior. We had a couple of those seniors this year. And I still think, you know, it's still, there's unfinished business there when you don't get to finish your season the way it's supposed to finish. But for me as a coach, and I think for a lot of people in our program, getting, like you said, getting to finish on a win is really big. And on a high note, a lot of teams, even at our national tournaments, hadn't even taken the court for their first round game yet. Obviously, the Division I tournament, the March Madness tournament hadn't taken off. So all these teams that just never got a chance, and we did get a chance to go out there on the big stage and win games. So I feel very fortunate about that.
You know, and you and I were talking one of the previous times we had you on, that there's going to be a new format for you guys for next year. It's not going to be two tournaments, correct?
That's correct, yeah. So the format up to this point has been the NAI has two tournaments, an NAI Division I tournament. That's a 32-team tournament in Kansas City, Missouri, and then an NAI Division II tournament, which is also a 32-team tournament. It's been in Sioux Falls, South Dakota the past few years. Now, this coming year, they're going to, NAI is the merging division, so there is no divisions in NAI now. It's just all NAI, and they're going to have a 64-team national tournament, and so it's kind of a regional format. There'll be regional sites throughout the country, and then the final 16 teams will go to Kansas City, Missouri for the final site national tournament.
How is that, how's that been received so far?
It just depends on who you talk to. I've been around the NAI a long time from my time at McKinsey before I was at IU Kokomo. I really liked the division format myself and getting to go to the final site, taking 32 teams there. I think it's a special experience for student athletes when you get to go out to a final site and play against teams from California, Washington, and all over the country, Florida. So I think that's a special thing. Now it's going to become, obviously, when you merge divisions, two divisions. Now, you know, you have over 250 schools where in each division maybe you have 130 or somewhere in their school. So it's going to become much more difficult to get to the final site. It is what it is. We'll deal with it. But, I personally prefer the two division format. But
okay.
We'll see how it does.
Yeah, and also, you know, it'll be interesting to see how all this all pans out. And they're all going to play in Kansas City, right?
Where's that?
And the big tournament, when you get down to 16, they're all going to be in Kansas City, right?
That's correct. Yeah, they're all in Kansas City at that point. Yeah, they go to Kansas City.
One of the big things I wanted to talk to you about was how is this situation with not being able to basically do the things you normally do, how's this affected your recruiting situation?
Recruiting got really tricky, very, very much so, because, I recruit a lot in the springtime. So, we try to really target guys that maybe had aspirations to go in Division I. And at that point, they become, you know, available in the spring. So basically in March, when this pandemic hit, that's the time where we are very active in recruiting, on having players visit our campus and things like that. And basically, when we got back to the national tournament, they said there'll be no visits on campus. You can't have anybody on campus. Everything becomes at that point. And it was very difficult. I would say all of March and all of April were working very hard on recruiting, but it's a very slow process. And then in early May, things broke for us, and we were able to find about five or six guys, and I'm really excited about them. I really think they're going to bring a lot to our program. One of them, I was kind of tickled to be able to get a guy out of the Sagamore Conference. His name's Dylan Ware.
Uh-huh.
I know Frankfurt fans would know who he is. He they would have played against him in the conference. And he's 6'6", very athletic, and he's going to be very good for our program. And so Dylan's coming, and then we got a number of other guys that I feel good about as well.
You know, and the thing is, you only lost, what, about three or four people from off?
Recruiting was tricky, no doubt about it. I mean, just, you know, I'm a big guy with face-to-face recruiting. I don't try to make my school out to be something it's not. I want it to be a genuine process on finding a school that fits the school. And when everything's on a Zoom, as a coach, I have a harder time getting a feel for the student athletes from. And I would say it would be the same when you can't visit a school and things like that. It would be much more difficult also for the student to get a good deal of what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult.
Yeah, but also in your situation, you really weren't looking for too many people, were you? Because I think you only lost like three or four kids from this past year's team?
you know, we did lose two players. One was a very good player. He actually just signed a contract to go to Italy a couple days ago, Neil McClain. And then we also lost Bryce Hudson. So we didn't lose a lot of guys. But the thing about that is next year, on this coming year's roster, we have seven seniors. So although it would seem like we don't need to recruit a lot of players, we only lost two. With seven seniors next year, a big part of our team is going to graduate. So I thought it was important to get guys into the program this year, let them see how we operate,
right,
get them ingrained into our program. So we will have a little bit larger roster size this year just because we're going to lose seven seniors after next year.
Yeah, and I think it also helps and helps you, you know, get your depth going and everything else. And, you know, it just makes it a little bit better for everybody involved. So.
Yeah. So there's definitely pros to it. I mean, obviously there's some comps, large people like that. You know, I mean, you deal with more just natural, more playing time, things like that. But that we're going to have to deal with this year, just the right way to go about it.
So, okay. All right. Is there anything else we really want to get into here real quick?
I know. Just the odd summer. We're not allowed to be in our gym right now, so we're not having workouts. Last summer we played Indiana Wesleyan. We played a lot of different NAI schools throughout the Midwest during the summertime and had open gyms and workouts and things like that. And I think we're like everybody else right now, you know, just kind of where our guys are playing on outdoor courts by themselves and getting workouts in and trying to find ways to make it work. But it's frustrating for guys that love the game. And I know, I'm sure the high school guys in Clinton County, I know a lot of guys love to play, and I'm sure they're probably trying to find places themselves, probably wearing out Dorner's Park and out there today and places like that. So
that's right.
That's what I would have been doing in this situation.
Yeah.
But so hopefully we get going here, and I think in August we're going to be allowed to have our guys come back into the gym.
Yeah.
I know everybody's ready to get back going.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. Everybody, I'm sure, is ready to get going here. So, Eric, anything else you want to add real quick before I let you go?
That's all I got, Ken. Thanks so much for having me on. It's great catching up with you.
It's always great catching up with you, and best of luck to you guys, and take good care of yourself, okay?
Sounds good. You too.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. That's been IU Kokomo head coach Eric Eckelbarger. We're going to go ahead and take a break now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
Hi, Doug.
Hello, Roy.
Did you hear about what they're going to be doing at Slabby's on June 6th?
It's going to be a great Saturday. I hear Joyful Bubbles is going to be there from noon to 6. Now, is it business as usual at the restaurant, though?
Oh, yeah. I'm still going to be able to get my rose relish chock full of garlic.
That's great. I'm going to go over and enjoy the bubbles so you'll stop breathing on me, Roy.
And remember, with Slabby's Food and Freedom, you can eat in, call in, pick up, or get it delivered to you curbside. Slabby's Food and Freedom, 307 North Main Street, just off the square in Frankfurt. Check out Slabby's Food and Freedom on Facebook for more.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank Convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I am your host, Ken Hartman. We've had two guests on so far today. We had Ohio High School Athletic Executive Director Jerry Snodgrass on. We just wrapped up a conversation with the IU Kokomo head men's basketball coach, Eric Eckelbarger. Now we're being joined on the phone by Iowa High School Athletic Association Director Tom Keating. Tom, good morning. How you doing?
Good, Ken. How are you guys?
We're doing great over here. It's a very nice day out and looking for some more fun today to get out and maybe do some things again, which we haven't been able to do a whole lot of. So,
true.
You guys kind of made a little history this week, as you got earlier here this month, as you guys have got some actual athletics being played right now. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, yeah, you know, I think you know, Ken, that Iowa is unique in that we're the only state that plays high school baseball and high school softball in summer. And we have an advantage in that regard that, you know, timing being what it was and our state starting to open some things up, our governor allowed us to, although we're starting a little later than we usually would, our governor allowed us to restart our baseball and softball season. So we were allowed to start practice this week, Monday the 1st, and our schools will be able to start competing on Monday, June 15th. So they'll get a couple weeks of practice in and then start getting after it. So, it's been a collaboration of the governor's office, our Department of Education, and our Iowa Department of Public Health that put some guidelines together, and we're off and running.
What kind of guidelines was put in place that was allowed you to kind of go ahead and do this?
Yeah, and we got a lot of input on that, Ken. And in addition to the groups that I mentioned, we met, you know, via Zoom. Who hasn't met via Zoom, right?
And yeah.
We did that with our baseball coaches advisory committee, with our umpires or our officials advisory committee, and our AD association. And we said, if we were going to do this, what kinds of things do we need to be thinking about? And we got some great feedback, and we were able to, pull together some ideas and put some guidelines together. And really, they're all based on, a couple things. One, primary safety. Second, maintain the integrity of the game. And then third, make it manageable so that our ADs, can actually, ADs and coaches can, and officials can implement these guidelines, these changes. So, it really came down to, what do we want to do, in terms of social distancing? What do we want to do in terms of sanitizing? What do we want to do in terms of, fans, and keeping and giving them opportunity to come, but keeping them apart, et cetera. So, we've made some things. We've recommended some things. We've required some things. So we require that all equipment is cleaned before and after practice. We require that, there are only essential personnel on the field. So during practice, that means players, coaches, and trainers. During games, it means players, coaches, trainers, and officials. So that's a little different because, a lot of teams and communities love those 7 and 8 year old bat boys and bat girls. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, dad that keeps the stats is in the dugout, or, somebody in the community who's done official scoring is sitting in the dugout. So we've kind of limited who gets there, We have asked our ADs to get people separated out, you know, as fans. And, you know, that's been kind of all over the place, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Some ADs have limited their fans to two fans per player or three fans per player. Others have said, well, our capacity is 500, so we're going to go with 50%, which coincidentally is our governor, as she is opening businesses and other entities, she has been using 50% as her guide. So for some schools, that's been an easy one.
Is there any requirement of masks for any of the players during, or anybody during the game? Or are they optional or what?
Yeah, they are permitted, but they are not required. And here's where that came from. Yeah, our Department of Public Health, we had a great conversation with them. And, you know, it's all about droplets, right? And it's all about these droplets mostly being in the air and being carried from one person to another. So masks seem to make sense. And if somebody feels comfortable wearing a mask and they want to do that, that's fine. But what we've also learned is that, you know, depending on who you talk to, minimum being 10 minutes, maximum, you know, being 30 minutes, you need to be near someone for a certain amount of time before you are at high risk for these droplets. And so it isn't just a walk by somebody without a mask and you're gonna, you know, you're gonna get this. If you're near somebody for 10 minutes, you're increasing your risk, you know. But so we've shared that with our folks as well, and we've had that question. And you know, I think some umpires are saying they're going to wear them, and some are saying they would prefer not to. And you know, Iowa's not a whole lot unlike Indiana in that, you know, we're playing in the summer. We're going to have July days where it's 95 degrees and
right.
You know, 70% humidity, and it's going to be tough to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the governor and the public health department felt if we can't play without masks, then we maybe should think about whether we should be playing or not.
The other big thing I really want to bring up, and I've talked to everybody about this, how are you going to handle football? Because that's always known as it's a contact disease, contact sport. How are we going to handle football when the time gets here?
Great question. And, you know, what we think baseball and softball are going to do for us is give us some information that's going to help us make decisions on what guidelines we would need to put in place. And I think the rest of the, you know, the the chant in the 60s was the whole world's watching. You know, and I think right now other states, they know. You know, the executive directors know we play softball and baseball in the summer, and they are watching.
Yeah.
And hopefully learning. And, you know, I'd say it isn't like we aren't thinking about football, but baseball and softball, that's the fire that's under our feet right now that we're addressing. And as you can imagine, we get about anywhere from 20 to 100 questions a day from ADs, coaches, umpires, superintendents. And so we're dealing with those, but we also are looking long term at, all right, when the fall opens, what do we need to be thinking about? And so we don't have specific plans, but you know, as we get through baseball and softball, we're taking notes and we're saying, how would this apply in football, cross country, volleyball, et cetera, when we get to the fall? So it's going to be a big challenge. We know it because the physical contact and the closeness, the nature of the game is you are, you know, you have, you know, 22 kids in a relatively small area, and about, you know, 14 of them, is 16 of them are very close together, a lot.
Yeah.
So that's going to present a challenge.
I'm going to ask this next question because I know the big thing about temperature checks is out there. We'll say kids, you know, are fine before the game, but get sick during a game. How are you going to best handle that situation, or have you even had those discussions yet?
Yeah, what we're saying is, you know, and again, depends on the school district, how they're handling this, but we've said we need temperature verification before a kid can practice, or a coach can be there, or an umpire can serve as an official And some places are doing self-reporting, so the student, the coach, the umpire checks their own at home and then reports when they get there. No, I do not have a fever, et cetera. Some schools are actually doing the checks on site, so much so that I was talking to an AD yesterday who his trainer, athletic trainer, is at the entrance of the parking lot. And, you know, the players and the coaches don't get in until they don't get out of their car until they get their temperature checked.
Right.
So it's all, you know, it is a piece of it. Now, back to your question, we would say if a student had a fever or was experiencing any other symptoms, we would say you can't participate today. If a student wasn't feeling well during the game, the coach would direct the student to find his or her parents and, you know, have to leave the premises.
Okay. All right. Yesterday here, the R&R Department of Education here put out a guide on how to best start school and all those kind of things. Has your Department of Education over there done the same thing? And if they have, what are they recommending?
They're in a let's plan for three scenario phase.
Okay.
And schools had to, I think by June 9th, I want to say, Ken, schools have to, and maybe it's July, but they've got to submit to the Department of Education three possible plans. One for full return to school. So if schools are open and they're run as they always have been, you know, what are you going to do with precautions? The second is, what would be your plan to do complete online learning like Iowa did for the last 2 months of the school year? And then the third is a hybrid. What would you do? Some schools, for example, might say, well, we'll run an A-B schedule where in the morning, you know, this half of the kids come in the afternoon, this half of the kids come in. So schools have had to submit to the state, what would your plan be in any of these three scenarios? And then the state is, they just keep watching the numbers. And, our governor has been very, very consistent about 2 weeks. The cycle of the virus is 2 weeks. So she looks at things 2 weeks out.
Okay.
And says, after 2 weeks, she'll make another decision. So I don't expect that decision to come until, mid-July, if not late July.
Okay. As a reaction to you guys going back playing, has it been basically really positive, or you got any kind of mixed signals, or how's that been for you guys?
Yeah, when the announcement came out, Ken, there was some pushback from some folks that, were concerned about what the safety implications were, but that really has subsided, and, I think people are excited again to be able to get get kids involved in things. And the one thing that I think people didn't count on that we felt would happen is happening. And that is, kids are excited certainly to be playing baseball and softball, but, this is getting them reconnected to their schools. They've been disconnected for 2 months, and they may not miss the 5-page research paper, but they do miss their friends.
That's
and
right.
Their teachers and their coaches. And, I just think they're, there's a little giddy up in their step that hasn't been there for a while, and they're just happy to be around their friends.
Okay. Tom, is there anything else that you want to add before I let you go?
Not really. I just appreciate the opportunity. We're excited. We know we have we don't take this responsibility lightly. We've got, thousands of kids that are out there playing right now, and we feel we have a responsibility to them. I hope people will remember that, a month ago we were hearing we will do anything to be able to play baseball and softball. So when we put restrictions on them,
right,
we hope they remember that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But you bet. But it's exciting. I think we're all going to learn some things from this, and hopefully that'll help us for the fall as well.
Okay. Tom, thanks very much for your time. Best of luck to everybody over there, and we'll probably talk to you before we get going much further down the line, okay?
Sounds great, Ken. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Tom. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That's been Tom Keating, who is the Iowa High School Athletic Association Executive Director. He has been our guest here in the last segment. That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thanks to our guests and to our sponsors, our State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. So join us next week for another Inside the Huddle. So until then, I'm Ken Hartman. Take care and have a great week.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.